Would you consider your life peaceful right now?
No. Not at all.
Could you say that your life is peaceful?
In today's age, I think it's very difficult for anyone to find peace.
Would you consider your life peaceful?
No. The job is really stressful, so overall, no. But I try to do what I can to get by, so.
Where do you find peace?
Where do I find peace? In the trees.
How so?
Those are living, breathing, eating creatures. I think they're awesome.
Okay. Where does peace come from?
Well, to some degree internal, realizing that we have all the same powers and amazing entities that trees and nature has.
Tell me three things that worry you.
When the world is going to end, what I'm going to be doing in the next few years, who I might marry, I think that worries me.
Okay. Where does peace come from?
Inside, I think. For me, the ocean, because it's a place that I connect with myself, just in the how big it is and how, like, I don't know, permanent.
Where does peace come from?
Peace comes from being totally happy with yourself and your decisions. You can't totally be happy if you have questions in your mind, and that's where I think total peace comes from.
Where does peace come from?
Within, in the heart, from love, from friends and family members. Basically, that's where I find peace.
Would you consider your life peaceful right now?
No, because there's too much killing and violence and stuff going around. I mean, you couldn't even, like back in the old days, you could leave your door open and, you know, people wouldn't say too much and nothing. People kidnapping and stuff, so I don't think it's peace.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
name three things that worry you.
I'd have to say also STDs, flunking out of school, and going to heaven.
Going to heaven worries you?
What worries me is not going there.
Where do you find peace?
At home, on my couch, watching sports, baseball, football, that sort of stuff.
Where does peace come from?
Peace comes from relaxation, friends, family.
Would you consider your life peaceful right now?
Very. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too. Where does peace come from?
It comes from inside.
Where do you think peace comes from?
Within.
Where does peace come from?
I think you have to make your own peace.
Where does peace come from?
Inside, I think.
Where does peace come from?
Within.
Where do you think peace comes from?
Where do I think? Oh, I know where peace comes from.
Okay.
I know. I mean, I think the Bible teaches it best, you know. Jesus said something. He said, the peace I give, not like the world gives, you know. And I think it's found in the book of John. So the peace that people really need, which I think is the lasting peace, comes from knowing God. Not just God, but having a connection with faith in Christ Jesus. And I think that's what many people miss. I found that, and I think it works. I've lived that life for some years now, and I think it's a true word that Jesus spoke. So that's where peace comes from.
Peace. Back in the 60s, it was peace, right? It's a big thing. All of us have experienced peace, or and then we've all experienced lack of it, stress, worry, anxiety, different times in our life. I think we've had times where we've had, you know, mild anxiety. Sometimes we've had extreme anxieties. We find ourselves at different points in our lives, and from that to serious distress to just mild. But truth is that life presents many opportunities for us to be stressful, to be have lack of peace. And given a choice, I think we would all choose to have a life of peace. I mean, we all want to be at peace. It's just part of our nature. Worry, which is a lack of peace, I guess you could say, worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all thoughts are drained. Which is kind of interesting, because when we get worried, all of a sudden everything starts to feed in to that worry, and we get anxious and we lose our peace. Somebody once said worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And actually, that's not true. Worry will get you somewhere, an early grave. And that's just a reality, not only scripturally, but scientifically as well. They've proven that. But if the reality is that life presents us with all these opportunities for worry and fear robbing us of our peace, then as believers, we know that we're supposed to live in peace or have peace with God and the peace of God. And so if that's a reality, that our life has all these opportunities in our own personal life and in our country's life and our society, what's our biblical response? How do we respond to that? If you've been a believer for any time, you know that God is not pleased with worry. He doesn't want you to worry. Worry is considered a lack of faith because worry removes God from the picture. Worry is God's not in this, or he's not doing something with it. And God does indeed want us to be peaceful at all times, and yet he knows in this fallen world, Christ said you'll have trials and troubles and tribulations, that we're going to have all these troubles and concerns, and yet he has this wonderful answer for us. Look at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning, and we're going to pull some answers from that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which is a wonderful Scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen is right. Be anxious for nothing. Some translations say, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. And it's not that simple blasé, don't worry about it. It goes much deeper than that. Thankfully, God gave us a command, and I understand that is a command, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. He gave us that command, if you will, but didn't just leave it at that. He gives us this direction and prescription as we go through it this morning. And this section of Scripture, while it is a command to be anxious or worried for nothing, it's not just a command, it's really a source of encouragement. It's telling us what we're supposed to go with our problems. In fact, the previous verses tell us to rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all things. Excuse me. It's exactly because God knows that this fallen world will present many trials and worries that he gives us clear direction for when we face these things. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every time you lose your peace, every time you begin to be anxious and worried, and anxiety begins to come to your life, in all things go to God in prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, we have times, as I mentioned earlier, we have times of mild concern to extreme distress. And if we learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, as you will, if you would, when we begin to get just a little bit of anxiety and a little start to get stressed out, we find that's the best time to start going to God before this thing really ramps up, to get his peace. But we'll just kind of work through this morning. But we're to go to God in prayer, and notice it says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your request be made known to God. So it starts to define this little bit about prayer and supplication. And, you know, prayer is, of course, we understand prayer and petitioning and praying and supplication. And supplication simply means, that for the most part, a petition. To make your petition known to God. But prayer is a petition as well. So is God saying, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and more prayer, let your request be made known to God. But it's a clear answer when we consider the original language and the meaning of it. Prayer here, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer. Prayer is, if you would, a general form of prayer, and the wording and understanding behind it is prayer as praise. It's a prayer of worship. It's a prayer of praise and honor, and the original language denotes a petitioner's mind as an attitude of worship. And so it's not just a general prayer in a sense that it's just not very specific like petition is, but it's a prayer of worship. And supplication means a specific request, a petition. It's a prayer of praise, prayer is worship, and it moves on. You go to God in worship, not just in demand. Sometimes we just go to God in demands. And really what it's saying is when you begin to get anxious, that you begin to worship God. You go to God in worship, you come into his presence, and then when you, after you spend some time in worship, you make your request specific. It goes from just a general prayer, if you will, but times of worship to a specific place. And then you thank him, knowing that he's moving on your behalf. Being thankful that you have this time to spend with him. Thankful that you can hear God. God will hear you, and he's going to do something about it. Now, I want you to understand something. Hear me clear this morning. I am not presenting a formula for prayer. I mean, that's been tried over the years. Many have done that, and it misses the heart of prayer, if you will. I mean, prayer is just this relationship. It always has been about a relationship with God. And so, but there's a general specific place here of just how we approach God that's very helpful, and God's giving us this direction in the Scripture when we know when we have these problems and concern. We begin to see a wonderful promise when we take our worries and anxieties to God in this manner. And so it goes on after that, and he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I don't know if that's something we can grasp until we've experienced extreme anxiety, extreme worry, and have had God come in, and the circumstances haven't changed, but the peace is there. Chris tells a story. Tyler was... I mean, she could tell you the exact age. I'm not good at that. 8 years old, I think. It was 8 or 10 years. 8 years old, I think. But regardless, we were actually at a board meeting, and he was out on his little scooter, motor scooter. He wasn't supposed to take it out, you know, if we weren't home, and they took it out. And he was, earlier that day, he'd been doing jumps on his regular bicycle, so he thought that'd be fun to try in this little motor scooter we had. And his older brother was there with him, and so short version is he did a jump, he crashed, and an ambulance had to come and rush him to the hospital. So we get called, and we rush down to the hospital. He's really traumatized, and he had broken femur. And we found out later they were concerned that his neck may be broken because there was a crack in that and a crack in his pelvic. So they were going to life flight him down to Rainbow Babies and Children. And so, you know, it's really, I mean, this is trauma, you know. And so we go up into the helicopter, and he just wants to go home. He's 8 years old. He just wants to go home, you know. And you know, Chris... You know, he was upset, so I said, I want to ride with him. And the pilots, you know, you can't ride. There's so much weight and all the stuff they figure. And he said, maybe she can ride. And I said, you don't want her in that helicopter right now. She didn't even like, you know, rides at the park. And so he agreed to take me. And so she's driving down to Rainbow Babies and Children as we're heading down to we're flying down to the hospital in this life flight. And she shares a story that as she was driving and going down Mayfield Road, she said, people around him must thought she's crazy. She's screaming at the devil and worshiping God at the same time and calling out to God. And here's her baby, and we have no idea, but she's seeing him being life-lighted away. And she talks about as she's driving down the road, all of a sudden, this peace just began to flood her being from the top of her head down the bottom. Just flooded her. Concerns were still the same, but she experienced this extreme peace of God that he's in control. God did many miracles through that situation. We got down there, and they showed me the x-rays from the hospital. They had sent x-rays with them, and so they took further x-rays, and we had called the prayer chain, and we'd called some of our pastor friends and put them on the prayer chain, and they showed me these two sets of x-rays, and I think I've shared this in the past, and they said, well, here's the one that was a crack in his neck. They're worried about paralysis, and here was his pelvic was cracked, but we're not seeing any of those cracks over here in these new x-rays. So God did some supernatural work, and along with the femur, those of you who've been here with a long time, remember he spent the summer in a body cast, but God did some miracles in that as well. So, but there's this peace that God wants us to know that can pass all understanding. In other words, in the natural, to your understanding, your natural wisdom, and that's what the wording here means, you should not have peace in this situation. you look at the situation and think, this is trouble. Whatever your situation may be, whether it's a physical situation or a financial or emotional or something that's happening, the wording here is saying that in this circumstance, in the natural, when you look at it, there's nothing to be peaceful about. This is serious. This is something that you normally would be concerned, but that's in the natural. And God goes on to the supernatural. In the natural, there's a problem. In the supernatural, no problem, because God's in control. He's not worried. He is more than able. And so you look at this situation and you go, well, I'm getting a little frantic about this. I'm concerned, but I wonder if God's upset. You know, if God's up there wringing his hands going, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this one, then we've got something to worry about. But he's not. And suddenly, God's peace about the situation becomes your peace. In your prayer, the wording here is puts you at one with God. The original Greek word here for the peace of God, peace means, it means peace, it means prosperity, it means quietness, rest, and set at one again. Set at one again. I like that. I mean, we know when the trials come and the anxieties come and we don't have the peace that you know, our mind is scattered in all different directions. We've all been there. We start thinking this and we go over here and then this thought comes and it just, you know, we're just kind of scattered. We can't even put two thoughts together other than negative ones, and we have a whole barrage of them, and we have all these anxieties with no clear thoughts, and then this peace, this oneness again. We have this clarity of sense of the presence of God. Your mind is clearly focused, peaceful, and you're at one with God. His peace that he is in control becomes your peace. You have the mind of Christ. And that's a whole different place to be. The truth is, while we've all experienced anxiety, different levels of it, anxiety and worry is a product of unbelief and distrust in the providence of God. Walking in unbelief of God's ability and provision is a sin. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at it going, you know, I don't think God's can handle this, and I don't think he's going to do anything about it. I mean, there's kind of a difference. It's not, for us believers, usually it's not so much that he's not able, because we know he is. The truth be told, we begin to think, in this circumstance and in my life and at this point in time, he's not going to do anything about it. And that's what he doesn't like, because that's not scriptural. That he is in control, and he desires to meet every one of our needs and concerns and be involved in it. So he doesn't want us to be in belief, but I want you to consider the context of these verses. Just prior to 4, 6, and 7, we see 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it's almost like he hears us saying, yeah, okay, I get that, but you don't understand. And he says, no. Again, I say rejoice. It's a call to rejoicing in God. It's a call to joy. And it's a call to do that at all times, not just when things are going good. Because I don't know about you. I mean, I find it a lot easier to rejoice in God and have joy and give him glory when things are going my way. But it's the difficult times, the trials, when the anxiety comes and the fear comes, that we have to find time to say, I still choose at all times and in all things to rejoice and give joy and praise to my God and find his joy. Rejoice in the Lord. He is near. He is with you, is what it's saying. Begins to acknowledge you may have problems, but at all times understand he's with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And that should begin to change your thinking and your attitude. Because again, worry becomes that situation that removes God from the picture. We begin to rejoice in the Lord and we understand that he is with us. That means he's totally aware of what's happening and what's going on. Our life should be one of rejoicing in the Lord. And when trouble comes, it's to him that we go to for restoration of our peace. And it's when we begin in this worshipful prayer, start out in worship and begin to worship God, we are reminded that God does what? Inhabits the praises of his people. And so you begin to see how the scripture has some clarity and direction for us. We have this worry, we have this concern, but begin to rejoice in God, begin to give him praise, and he begins to inhabit the praises of his people. He begins to make us more aware in reality that he is still there. He has not left us, has not forsaken us, and his presence is with us. And so you draw God near to God in worship, and you're reassured by his presence. And then when you begin to get in this reassurance of his presence, you bring a specific request to him in faith, not in unbelief or fear, but coming to him saying, Father, I know that you're hearing and that you have my best interests at your heart. And you thank him that he's there, that he's heard your prayer, that he's moving on your behalf. And what happens is peace begins to fill you with reassuring rest in him. And so you see this process contextually, and the next verses then go, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I said a few minutes ago, this is understanding. When you look at it, the natural, you should have a problem. And the original wording is your intellect, your mind, your thoughts, and your feelings. This understanding, the way you understand the situation, your intellect and your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, even your feelings and emotions. And we know that those are strongly connected, aren't they? Our thoughts can drive our emotions can drive our thoughts. And we can really take off on a missile sometimes with our thoughts and our emotions, and we get all worked up and get all fearful and anxious. And again, this peace of God that transcends or surpasses all your understanding, all your feelings, all your emotions, all your thoughts, even your natural understanding of what the reality of the circumstance is. It's not denying that. It just says that this peace takes you above that and beyond that. This peace of God. And the natural is like, oh man, this is a problem. But the supernatural, with God, peace that, in spite of all understanding, notice that it guards your hearts and mind. There's a continual thought here in Proverbs earlier on, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's not far removed from what we're looking at here. Trust God in all things with every part of your being. And lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on what you see to be a reality, but lean instead on Christ. And it's not a denial. It's faith is not a denial of reality. Faith is saying, I understand the circumstances, and I'm taking it to my God. And I'm not going to look at this thing and let it overwhelm me. I'm not going to deny it. If you know anything about me, I tend at times to be a little detail-oriented. Drive some people crazy, you know. But I want to know every little thing. If I have a deep physical issue with the doctor, I go to the doctor, and I want to know, I got to know these things. That's just how I work, you know. If it's a situation or concern, and you're even something you're trying to figure out how to solve a problem, I want to know all the details. It's who I am. I can't help it, but that doesn't help, doesn't bother me, because I can take all these details, not be overwhelmed with them, but take them to God then. It's not a denial of the circumstances. It's not I'm not even going to worry about this. I'm going to hide my head in the sand. It's like, I will look at this thing and lean on God way above this whole understanding and take what I know to be a truth to him, because he's not concerned about it. And he has the answer. In Philippians, God says, he comes and he says, I will guard your heart and your mind. It's really interesting. This peace of God is guarding you. And that's what the scripture tells us. And the word here that God uses for guard means this, to be a watcher in advance. To mount a guard as a sentinel, to post spies at the gate to him and to protect with the garrison. I mean, it's like there's this room that you are in, if you would, and there's this terrible circumstance and anxiety in your life, and you begin to turn to God, and the peace of God sets a guard all around you. He's protecting you. He's got these strong guards, the sentinels, this garrison of guards, if you will, the picture, to protect and watch over you. And this guard, this holy guard, this peace of God, is guarding what? Your heart and your mind. And we don't have to be reminded that when we go through trials and anxiety comes, that's the first thing that begins to get crazy in a crisis, our heart and our mind. Our emotions, our feeling, our thoughts, our intellect, all those things. It says, God says, I know where you're going with this thing. But I'm going to give you a peace that will guard your thinking, that will guard your heart. And the meaning is your thoughts, your perceptions, your disposition, your feelings and emotions. Think about all that, your thoughts, your perception, how you're perceiving this thing, your disposition, your feelings and emotions guarded by God in spite of the circumstances beyond all reasoning. Your situation and circumstances say one thing, but by submitting it to Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, he begins to take over and he protects you in the process. That's a wonderful promise. Because you're looking at this thing and you're saying, in and of my own ability, I'm not doing real good here. In and of my own ability, I'm going to kind of take off somewhere, my thoughts and my feelings, and I'm going to get fearful, and I'm going to start playing this movie. And some of you are very good at this. You take this circumstance and your concern, and you play this movie up, and it projects all this stuff that hasn't even happened yet. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. You ever been there? You ever been there? I mean, we all do that. And we got this thing where, my gosh, it's bigger than I ever thought you could be, because this is all the worst that's going to happen, and we protect this thing. And God says, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to guard your heart and mind, and I'm going to give you a peace. And I'm not going to let you go in that direction. There's something else here that we don't want to miss this morning. You might not have caught it. This peace that we've acquired that goes beyond understanding, I hope you caught whose peace it is. The peace of God. See, Jesus declared that himself. He said to us, in reality, his disciples and us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's the peace of God that begins guarding your heart and mind. God's peace. That's a wonderful thing. And Scripture tells us that God is, in fact, a God of peace. In Philippians, Paul writes in a couple of verses later, right here in the same section of 4, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I like that. The God of peace will be with you. This reassuring presence. Romans is a prayer. Now the God of peace be with you all. Romans 10:15 says we have a gospel of peace. And so we said we have a God of peace, a gospel of peace, and in there we should find the peace of God, regardless of what's happening. And I don't know, as I survey a lot of people's lives and just things in general, peace may be the one thing that we struggle with the most, walking in that on a continual basis. And it's not just the time the trials come. We're going to have those, and this is so appropriate when that comes. But I'm talking about living a life that is just peaceful. I mean, who wants to sign up for that? You know? I mean, just a peaceful life. Things are good. Don't worry, be happy, like the old song, you know? But a don't worry, be happy truth rooted in the Word of God, not just some little cliche. The God of peace, the whole gospel of his peace, of peace, and to possess and live in this peace of God. Notice, God doesn't say that you won't have trouble. See, he said, when trouble comes and you turn to him, this peace of God then will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus beyond your understanding. Some of you may know the great singer, gospel singer, Corrie ten Boom. She says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. That's pretty profound when you think about it. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. You know, I realized many years ago, and I've probably spoken about this over the years several times, that you can have peace with God and not have the peace of God. Think about that for a minute. You can have peace with God and not have the peace of God. Christ as Savior brings you peace with God. That I'm reconciled with the Father. I am saved. I'm going to heaven. I have this peace with God. It's only Christ as your Lord, as you submit to him, that you get this peace of God. So many of us want to accept Christ as our Savior, but we don't want to live according to him and by him and submitted to him, and we wonder why we don't have any peace in our life. We're not being led by the Spirit of God. And we'll never have this peace of God. We all said we want this peace of God. We want to have God's peace in our life. We'll never possess that until we know, first and foremost, the God of peace. That's just a reality. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that to be a salvation experience. Justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We stand before the Father as if we've never sinned. And that's what it's telling us. That's a wonderful thing. I was struck this morning as we stood in worship and thinking about the songs. They all had kind of a similar theme as this. Who's like on our God and just this peace of God. And who do I fear? From the inside out, this presence of God from the inside out. It's the same theme that kind of God's speaking to us this morning. It starts with, who is God and who shall I fear when I know him? When we begin to see God as a God of peace, we begin to experience his peace in our life in spite of our circumstances. As I said several times, God's peace is not a denial of trials or tragedy. It's this reassurance presence of him in the midst of them and his promise that he knows and cares and is in control. Old Testament, New Testament alike affirm God as a God of peace. And this Jesus that we talk about, this Jesus that is our Lord and Savior, this Jesus that gives us this peace with the Father, peace with God, we see Isaiah prophesying that he was coming in 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Lord that we know is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that reassuring? Isn't that just wonderful to know that God is called a God of peace of the Old Testament, New Testament alike, and our Savior is the Prince of Peace, the very whole foundation of peace. You can be born again at peace with God through Christ, heaven bound, and be full of anxiety. And I hope you caught that. You can be born again knowing you're going to heaven, knowing you're saved, and be full of anxiety, and we've all been there. And when we find ourselves in that state, we must recognize we are not in God's will. You're in God's will being born again, but if you're born again and you're full of this anxiety, it means you haven't taken it to him, you haven't experienced his peace yet, and you're not trusting him. And if you're beginning to pray and you're beginning to seek him and you haven't experienced it yet, you press in further until you get this experience of his promise of peace. The God of peace wants you to know him and his peace. Romans 15:13, I love this. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I could just live my life by that verse right there, I'd be doing a happy dance every day, wouldn't you? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you abound in hope by the power, by the presence, by the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Philippians 4 and Romans 15 are saying the same thing. Joy and peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Turn to him. Begin to worship. Take your petitions to him. And this peace of God that goes beyond every circumstance, beyond what your mind and intellect tells you, begins to guard you. Your heart and your mind. And begin to understand this part of what God wants you to experience, because that's who he is and that's what his kingdom is. I must have missed one here. Oh, I didn't have it down. I didn't want it up here. Romans 14:17 tells us this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, right with God, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love that. That's what God wants you to have when you're living and experiencing and expressing his kingdom of God. Scripture tells us to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, are filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, we begin to experience this wonderful peace of God. Philippians 4 tells us, in a sense, to pray, present, trust, and be filled with God's peace. Think of it that way, to pray, to present, to trust, be thankful, and be filled with God's peace. Take this worry, this anxiety, these concerns to God. Draw into his presence. Be filled with his peace and stay there. And maybe that's the struggle, staying there. Maybe we go to God in prayer and we begin to get this reassuring presence and we feel better and he's in control and thank you, Lord, for that word and we're assured and we kind of begin to move on and then the circumstance is still there and hasn't changed and anxiety and the worry comes back. Sometimes staying there. And so Philippians 4 starts out with rejoicing at all times and all ways he's with you and go there in prayer and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then just in case we start realizing that our mind is taking us back in that concern, he comes along in the following verses and gives us a prescription, if you would. 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think consistently on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You pray, you present your concerns to God, you thank him for it. You don't dwell on a problem. You don't, as if you believe God's not going to do anything about it, you begin right then to watch your thought life. You begin to watch your mind and your thinking. You think on your things of God. And understand something. When your mind is filled with God, when your mind is filled with peace, there's no room for fear or anxiety. And when you begin to feel that fear and anxiety creep back in, that means you're not full enough with the things of God. And you go back in prayer, and you go back in worship, and you go back in praise, and you begin to feel this overwhelming presence of your God. Your thought life, fill it with truth, noble, right things, righteousness, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think, meditate on these things. And I thought about this when I was putting this together, and I thought about, what's the opposite? Because that's what they're telling us. These things we think on, we tend to think on the opposite. Think on whatever's true versus whatever's false. We tend to think on the false. Noble or honest, whatever's dishonest. We believe the lie. Right or righteousness or just, we think about the unjust. This isn't fair. This shouldn't be happening. Think on what's pure. We think about the impure, the tainted, the polluted. Think about what's lovely versus unlovely or ugly. Admirable, contemptible is the opposite. Excellent, inferior, praiseworthy, unfit, or unworthy. So our mind tends to go to the false, the dishonest, the unjust, the impure, the tainted, the polluted, the unlovely, the ugly, the contemptible, the inferior, the unfit, and the unworthy. Just the opposite of what God's telling you to fill your mind with. And when you think of the things of God, the truth, the honesty, the righteousness, the purity, the loveliness, the beauty, the admirableness, the excellency, and the praiseworthiness of God is all right there 100% of the time, 24/7. He never changes. He's always just that. When we think of the things of God, all those things, we begin to understand that he's with us. He's never left us. In spite of our circumstances, he will see us through. I invite the worship team to come forward this morning. Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In Isaiah 26:3, it's a wonderful verse. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You want to stay in peace? Stay in the presence of God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, on you, Lord, because he trusts in you. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.